My next show is gonna be, drumroll please, a singing competition. Just think, your neighbor, the grocery store manager, that chicken, right there. Real talent from real life.
I always loved seeing regular folks get a shot at their dreams, which sounds a little cliched now, but that's the bit of the shows I always loved. I wasn't so interested in the judges or their lives or even the mechanics of the TV show and the formats. It was that raw bit of get up there and try and do your thing. That's why, actually, the whole film doesn't take place in a TV show. It's all in a theatre.
In a way, it also looks like this love letter to the joy of a traditional theatre, which is, you know, physically where it's set. It made me think a little bit of behind-the-scenes bits of The Muppet Show.
I used to be part of a youth theatre group at school, and just being backstage in a theatre was wonderful. Even though our school was very small and kind of unremarkable in many ways, I worked once with the Royal Ballet and I was backstage at the Royal Opera House. And it's a magical world all of its own. It has everything it needs in there. It's all this sort of self-contained universe. Everything has a purpose. Every lever does a wonderful little job. And I just love that. And a theatre tends to be a more romantic setting. You know, it's the seats of red velvet. There's lights in the ceiling. There's often paintings and ornate golden decorations. I wanted to be in that environment for my story rather than a cold TV studio.
You're known, of course, through the Hammer and Tongs production company for all these amazing pop videos that you made, particularly in the kind of golden days of Britpop. And I gather that you were reading Tracy Thorn's autobiography, which inspired the Porcupine kind of punk singer. I wondered how far you're drawing on that sort of pop music background in this.
Very much. I mean, firstly, the film is full of music and all the characters have a sort of different genre. I was able to draw on all my influences, going right back to what my mum and dad used to listen to you know, all the stuff that we were exposed to as we were working in the music video world. Making music videos for bands and filming pop stars playing pianos and guitars and finding ways to make that work sort of did influence the making of this film. And certainly toward the end when you reach the final sequence in the film and everyone is performing their songs, it felt very much like I was drawing on past experiences. Even though I don't have a gorilla, he's virtual, he's in a computer, I still know how to make him look like he's playing the piano. Do you know what I mean? It's sort of where we should put the camera now. That goes here. Let's go wide and crane in. And so those sort of influences were just sort of there and sort of stuck in my big sticky soup of a brain, I guess, yeah.
And in terms of the characters then, talk me through.
So you have Johnny, who's a sort of a Cockney British gorilla, who's his father's getaway driver.
That's Taron Egerton.
Taron Egerton plays, the son of a gangster. Then you have Rosita, played by Reese Witherspoon. Rosita is the mother of 25 piglets.
Is she based on your wife in a certain sense?
Yes, I like the fact you're laughing there because, my wife had a similar reaction. She was like, really, you're going to make me a pig? I was like, we have four children. And my wife is a fashion designer. She gave up her job when we started having kids. And then for 10 years, she was doing that. And then trying to get back to work was really tricky. All of the emotional and practical and age things that come with trying to re-engage came back to her. And I based Rosita's story very much on that.
The Seth MacFarlane character, who's a kind of Rat Pack style mouse.
Yeah, mouse,
is that actually quite obnoxious? And I was quite interested in the presence of
characters
like him.
I think he's really obnoxious, I wanted to have someone that was phenomenally talented, like effortlessly talented, but that was just downright horrible and mean.
Arrogant,
egotistical. I mean, we're always told in movies at the end that they redeem themselves and they actually see the good in others. No, people like that very often don't, and they do just fine. And I really wanted to just have a character who never changed his ways.
A penny? How dare you? I happen to have studied at the Lincoln School of Music.
Sorry, it's all I got right now.
Oh, is that so? Prove it, pal.
What?
Empty your pockets right now. Well, what is this you got here? What do you smoke out of this?
That's my inhaler.
The reason to have Mina, the elephant, as an elephant was because her character is super, super shy. That's her thing. She has crippling stage fright. So I wanted that stage fright to be huge. I didn't want to make her the small animal, like the mouse. I wanted that nervousness to be huge and you can't hide from it. And so she has a family that are really gunning for her, really sort of over the top in terms of, come on, you can do it. And that's almost making it worse for her.
You seem to have this amazing animator's eye for how you do match a character to an animal.
Right.
And this is the first full-length animated film you've done. In a way, people might be thinking, this is the man who made Son of Rambo, who made all those pop videos, who made Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
Why is he doing
this?
What's wrong with this man? Can't he just pick something and finish it? I don't know. I love animation. I used to make animated films at school. And what I always loved about animation was it's one of those mediums where you really can push a lot of buttons. You can be very inventive. You can be visually stunning, but then you can be very emotional and funny. You can do a lot of things with that world.
Very early on, when we first see Johnny the gorilla, he's singing. I was very impressed by quite an obscure Zombies track.
You knew it. Did you know it when you watched it?
Yes, I recognised it straight away.
You're one of the only people that knows it.
If I feel that I could be certain, then I would say the things I want to say to him.
Thought I heard someone singing there.
But other than that, it's actually an exact mix, isn't it, of very contemporary hits by the likes of Taylor Swift and Katy Perry, and then 80s hits. And some have said, this is a very precise thing to target the parents and the children.
It's not actually, it's not a precise thing. It's really my record collection.
Really?
And I remember watching the London Olympics opening ceremony that Danny Boyle did. Do you remember that musical montage they did? It was so brilliant and it embraced everything. And that's how I feel about music. I don't like being streamed into being told I will like this one thing.
You're a female and you're a teenager. This song was made for you.
Wow, it's like you can see inside my tiny teenage mind.
I know, right? You just gotta add some moves and a little bit of... Hey, I just met you. And this is crazy. But here's my number. So call me maybe. Go for it.
Oh, you mean like this?
Try to chase me, but here's my...
I can tell you most children don't know most of the music in the film. Because like a five-year-old doesn't know Stevie Wonder and very often doesn't even know Shake It Off by Taylor Swift. You know, but I've found that if you do it right and you celebrate each piece of music, because we've got Frank Sinatra in there and Pavarotti in the White Stripes, if you try and do it with real passion like we used to do with the music videos, then that will hopefully be felt by the children, that they'll learn to love music they never would have been exposed to.
I must say, I was absolutely in tears. I was genuinely moved by this film, kind of against my instincts, if I'm honest, because I am one of those people who is very cynical about the effect of talent shows on ordinary people and their aspirations, and also on the whole idea of originality and music. And I wonder how you feel about that. Having worked with all these original pop talents, there's something very sincere about this film.
Yes.
And yet you'll know the reality of a lot of these talent shows is really problematic. And I'm fascinated by where you stand on them.
Well, first of all, I realised in talking to you as well, I was more inspired by films like The Commitments. And recently I saw a film, Sing Street, which I loved. And those are the stories where the music is in the characters' lives. It's not like a Gene Kelly burst into song type thing. And they were the escape, or they were the way to connect with a part of themselves that was otherwise denied. The music fulfilled a wonderful purpose. OK, so we are setting it in a theatre, and there is a competition element. That's merely the device, that's the frame for the story, but it's not what is driving the emotion of it. And those emotions were the things that we were chasing from the outset. Those feelings that one gets from seeing somebody reach the heights that they always were capable of doing.
Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah.
Do you think you could sing like that in front of a real audience?
I don't know, but I want to try.
Good. Because I want to see it.
It is very moving when you get an artist to let go and trust you. One of the last music videos I made was for Radiohead, and I filmed the lead singer, Tom York, just dancing in a room. And he really let himself go through the course of the shoot, and I can see it in there, and I find that process very moving. It's a bit like when you watch the gymnasts at the Olympics. I don't know the gymnasts. I don't even know how they do what they're doing, but I find their dedication to it and their excellence just really, really moving. And I wanted that sort of feeling to be in the end of the movie, to be rewarded by the struggle these animals have been through to get there, for it to be that powerful, I guess,
there seems to be this eye of yours for coming up with brilliant little ideas. And I'd read that when you made Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, there were all these great little scenes, but they ended up getting cut from the final film. But they were great little ideas. In this film, there's a sequence where the koala bear and his friend turn themselves physically into a car wash.
That's right, yes.
And a great moment with dancing kind of electric squid in a tank.
Oh, yeah, yes, yeah.
Are these just ideas you have? Do you have a notebook? I mean, how did they come to you?
Oh, I'm just a bit weird, I think. It's sort of my normal thought process, and it's only once I start to then pitch them to the people I'm working with and their eyes are widening, thinking, what is he talking about? So like with the car wash scene, it was really important for me that at that point of the story our heroes hit a real low. So it was something that I felt was endearing but also tragic at the same time, which is why Pavarotti does Ness and Dorma during that moment. And it just made sense to me. It just felt like that's where my heart goes at that point.
Is this the childhood you? I read on your website that, you know, you were that boy at school who just was always doing drawings and writing little ideas.
Yes,
and essentially you've turned this into a career.
Yeah, I have. I think you're right. I've sort of been really doing the same thing I was doing since I was about 11. I really have, I think. I tried to pay attention, but my brain wasn't having any of it. It was sort of, I was trying to draw a really good R2-D2 or impress someone with a Chewbacca impression. And I was making little action movies with my dad's video camera. And I just liked making stuff. Then I'd show it to someone and they'd go, hey, it's awful. But just kept going. I feel very lucky in a way because I wasn't being scrutinised and my parents were very sort of, they were trying to make me do well, but they weren't as bothered as a lot of parents are these days.
None of this kind of, you have to do your STEM subjects and get into it.
No, God, I wouldn't have known what to do. I mean, I was so bad at maths that I failed it the first time round. I retook my maths GCSE 4 times and when I was 18 when I finally got a C. I only did it because I wanted to prove my teachers wrong. But I'm really awful at a lot of things. But I really love telling stories. And I just threw myself at that stuff. So my whole career has been avoiding the stuff I'm terrible at and just throwing myself at the stuff I adore, I suppose.